Herman, thank you. That was classic Mashaba. It's what we expect. And what we expect of you as the second biggest political party. You're confident. You're looking at it. The pollsters are saying no. The pollsters are saying 2%. The pollsters are saying the cope effect. Exciting to begin with, and then taper off. What do you say to the pollsters?
Well, the reason why one of the commitment that I have in South Africa is to fight the drugs, because it looks like there's drug cartels that bring in very dangerous drugs in this country. Because, what we are made to read every Sunday in the papers, I don't think people write that there's been sober. Alec, please, just go into your system. Look at what the pollsters and the professors and the political analysts said to us, even a day before the elections in 2021.
We've had this conversation, and I think what a lot of people are missing is the point you made to me, that you've contested in the rural areas, in by-elections, where you've got 10% of the vote, or more, double figures. But it's like not getting through, a little bit like what Mr. Tlabisa was saying earlier about what's going on in KZN with your MPC partner, the IFP, that they are doing so much better. The facts are on the table. The runs are on the board. And yet it's not being pulled into the public consciousness. What's going on? I asked him this. What's your thought?
Well, look, I think, Alec, what is really unfortunate is that there's pollsters and these political analysts we listen on television every day. They tell you ANC is a big elephant that cannot be taken down. Let me give you the facts and not what the pollsters are saying. In the city of Johannesburg, contested as a mayoral candidate, at the time, I had no clue what the mayor does. I just accepted this responsibility because I felt we've got to take the ANC out, and they are vulnerable. We removed them in the first round, representing the DA at the time. Now look at, on my own with a party and year old, launched during COVID. IEC saw something that the pollsters and the professional people didn't see. They made us contest as a logo. I had to train voters to vote for a logo. 550,000 people voted for us. At the time in 2016, when I was the mayor of the city of Johannesburg, ANC had the 44% of the city of Johannesburg. You know where they are right now officially? 33%. People don't know this. The city of Johannesburg. There's animal there that say it can't be taken down. That 33%. They had 124 councillors. Right now, as I'm speaking to you, ANC has got 90 councillors in the city of Johannesburg. DA at the time when I was representing it, we were 104 of us. There are now 71. Action SA from nowhere. 44 councillors. We are the third biggest political party in the city of Johannesburg, followed by a political party that fills the stadium every weekend at 29 councillors, EFF. 29 councillors. Actually, they say 44. People don't know this because we don't fill stadiums. We go out there and really sell our message to the people. We don't really call people in stadium. We don't have the money in the first place to fill up stadium. In fact, I'm telling you, call people in the stadium, entertain them. They are not going to listen to you. They are there to have fun. So we don't have money. We don't have the money for that. What we do is we ensure that people resonate to our message of an unracial South Africa, committed to deal with crime, criminals. South Africans know very well that Herman Mashaba and criminals will never coexist. I'm very unhappy with the manner in which today we treat criminals in this country. We are too soft on criminals. I can tell you under Action SA, life is going to mean life. If a court of law has found you guilty, it's going to be life. If you are serving 25 years, I can tell you in your cell, we are going to have a clock, a very cheap one, every day showing you how many days. If 25 years, you're going to serve 25 years. And what's more important, no prisoner, hardened criminals, murderers, a country where we've got 86 people being murdered every single day. And you must tell me I must practice Ubuntu. I'm not prepared to practice Ubuntu with a criminal. A murderer, a rapist, a drug dealer, I can tell you we are not going to pay for them. On a day like this, what day is this today? Is it Monday or Tuesday? I don't know. Well, whatever day it is.
It's Tuesday.
Is it Tuesday? Tuesday this time, I can tell you before, between 8 and 5 o'clock, there won't be any prisoner in a prison cell. They'll be in the farms producing. They'll be working for their accommodation and their meals. The money that this current government is providing prisoners to lay in cells and form gangs, this money is going to go into early childhood development centers. It's going to go into building hospitals, clinics, infrastructure in the poor communities. We are not going to feed the criminals. They're going to work. And I can tell you, we've got technology to monitor how they work. If you don't produce what you expect you to produce in a day, you will work on Saturday and Sunday. It's up to you. You can really decide.
But after that, I'm curious.
I see you breathing fire today, Herman. I'm glad to see this. But you're talking a lot of common sense. You are a highly successful entrepreneur. Nobody can dispute that. There was another, I don't know how successful an entrepreneur he was, but certainly he had a lot of hotels, Donald Trump, who went into politics. Are there parallels?
Not my optional at the park.
I think, unfortunately, I've never met Donald Trump in my life. I only got to know about his hotels and his success. My first trip to the U.S. in 1986, after starting my business in 1985, and realized our industry, to a large extent, was controlled by American developments. And I decided to apply for a visa to go to the U.S. on a fact-finding mission. And at the time, Donald Trump was really rebuilding New York. And that's really what, obviously, I admired and inspired me. Not just him, the American, the capitalist, the way I remember on the Hudson River, on a boat trip, they relayed how many billionaires are there in New York City, how many millionaires, and so forth. And I said to myself, coming from Haramozene village, before 10:30, I've got to become a multimillionaire. And I fortunately managed to really turn things around, learning from what the Americans were doing, the entrepreneurial spirit. And Donald is one of those. As a politician, how is he doing? I think it's up to the Americans to decide who they want. Fortunate enough, I'm not a voter in the United States. So I vote here. I will not vote for a criminal enterprise that's governing us right now in South Africa.
You know, when you talk about upliftment from the humble background, it's a lot like if one reads the early 20th century American books, where there was a great focus on uplifting yourself, self-improvement, work on yourself, and Napoleon Hill, Dale Carnegie, Norman Vincent Peale. It was all about looking at inside and not expecting others to provide for you. What were your influences? Because as a future president of South Africa, we need to know how your mind ticks.
Well, I think, Alec, on the day I was born, 26th of August 1959, I don't know, for some reason, my grandfather happened to have been home. My father was still alive. Unfortunately, decided to die when I was 2 years old. But my grandfather's teachings were quite profound to me. until his passing in 1978 when I was in Madrid. My grandfather instilled in me a sense of self-reliance, hard work, education. And he was not, my grandfather was a security guy for the Kharankua municipality, was marching Elan. I don't know if you're in the townships, a security guard, we used to call them marching Elan. That's all. I don't really believe my grandfather's been to school. But he had the wisdom, and he instilled this in me not to rely on someone else. That is why I'm really fighting communists, because I've read so much about communists until Lenin and Stalin and their criminal group took over in 1917. You look at what communists have done all over the world, and this is something that this government wants to do, because the only way communists can survive and remain in power is to oppress people, take away their personal liberties, where you decided when to go to the bathroom and so forth. I want to live in a society where free enterprise is the norm. People mustn't put money in under mattresses. There must be the rule of law. There must be consequences for wrongdoing. There must be rewards for those who do good, because I can tell you right now, people don't know, tend to mischaracterize United States. If you look at philanthropists in the last 100 odd years or so, majority of them, where do they come from? From the U.S. People don't really know this. People who've made the money and then put money into foundations and help others. Show me a single communist who has ever done anything for anyone. To show me one, the Lenin or Stalin. What did Stalin didn't even leave anything for his own children, So what I'm saying is, I think, I strongly believe in individual freedom. I believe in a country where there's a rule of law, there's consequences for wrongdoing, there's a reward for those who do good in society. We need to encourage people to really be good human beings. That's why God is so important in our lives. We should not really only be afraid of jail and the police. We need a spiritual fulfillment, so that I think we must be good human beings, and this must be incorporated in our education while we're teaching our kids to be capitalist, and we must not stand on a fence to encourage our children to be capitalist. But at the end of the day, they must be capitalist with a heart. How I managed to really grow my business during the days of my country's history, when I, as a black man, was not allowed to do business. Why did I succeed? I strongly believe I succeeded because from day one, I made money. And every money that my family did not need, I used it in our communities. I did not use traditional the marketing, giving money to the agencies and television and radio and so forth. I did good things for society, communities needing whatever. My marketing and actually, we chose the right name that would resonate in ensuring that actually people must actually take our business to be theirs. But it must not just be in the name. It must not be in our doing. But people must understand, I can only give what I have, not to promise other people's money. So allow me to make money. And if I make more than what I can consume as a family, then we can then apply back to society. It is for that reason my family allowed me put in, I can imagine, you can just have an idea, to start a political party with no funding from no one. My family allowed me, gave me the space, and we all agreed as a family, whatever it's going to cost us, it's a contribution to this country, it's to South Africa. Thank you for giving us the economic freedom that we've enjoyed over the last 40 years. But if I was a communist today who got money for nothing given to them by white monopoly capital, every day the one that's free stuff, I don't really operate in that way. I operate on the basis of how many meals can I have? The only meal I had actually today, it's a sandwich in the plane. My wife wanted to prepare me breakfast. I said, no, I'm going to have someone else's food somewhere free, you know. let's save it, and I'm going to have a free dinner tonight. So I'm saving my family's money. I didn't want my wife not to prepare me because I was full. No, I wanted a free one. I knew I would get a free meal somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, Herman. Well, you said it earlier that you don't want to go to Parliament to be in the opposition benches. Does that mean you're not going to Parliament?
No, I'm number one on our list. We are contesting, we are campaigning to be in government on our own or through the multi-party charter. So that's really what we're working towards. And if I look at my life, do I always succeed? Absolutely not. But fortunate enough, 90% of the decisions I've taken have been successful. And so I'm not yet interested in being a member of parliament, earning R1 million a year. That's not what inspires me. I can do better economically somewhere than somewhere else. And I'll not really be of value to society. So I'm campaigning on the basis of saying to South Africans, help us to democratically unseat this government so that we can implement these policies that we're talking about.
Herman, last question before we go to the floor. With Black Like Me, it really didn't have a chance, if you think about it, given the circumstances that you worked in, and yet you managed to be successful by being innovative. Have you used any of those strategies in Action SA? And I'm getting to a place here that if you did, perhaps they wouldn't have surfaced in the more formal polling that we're seeing now. And if there are strategies you've used, just what are they?
Well, use common sense. When I started, I conceived the idea of Black Like Me in 1984. I did not need any research company to tell me black women now wanted to be permed. I could see it. It was so obvious. I did not need anyone to tell me that you perm black women, you'll make money. So I conceived the idea in a 200 square meter factory by the SBDC then in Bophuthatswana. 200 square meters. As if you look at entrepreneurs all over the world, that's why business schools all over the world have always had interest in my story, because I'm one of the entrepreneurs in the world that received very expensive funding. I got funding at 10% at prime plus 10. In January of 1985, when I got the $30,000 to start the business, I had to pay the prime plus 10 and paid over 3 years. And then I had to start paying interest and the capital from February of the same year. I paid back this $30,000. I paid it back in 7 months. By 1990, I remember, I always tell people, on the 2nd of February 1990, when PW bought, announced the unbanning of political parties and everything like that, I had built my own factory right in the township of Mabopane, over 6,000 square meters, built my own construction company. By that time, I'd already started even a construction company that built my own factory. Cost me over 10 million rand, state of the art, employing over 200 people.
But I did not
owe anyone a cent.
The strategies you used there to grow your business, have you used those strategies at Action SA?
Exactly. I mean, When I accepted to be the mayor of the city, when DA approached me to be the mayor of Johannesburg, when people says ANC cannot be taken down, I said, no, we are going to take it down. And I took it down the first time around. When South Africans said I must start a political party, and all the pollsters and the researchers says you can't do it, we've proven them completely wrong. Because honestly, you don't have to be a rocket scientist that to get to understand that black people are hurtful with ANC. They don't want it any longer.
One final question. As the former chairman or president of the Free Market Foundation.
Chairman, I was a chairman.
Chairman. Are you seeing what's going on in Argentina with Javier Milei, the libertarian economist who's tearing up the rule book there? Because he would be, I guess, pretty aligned with what the Free Market Foundation stands for.
Well, I'll follow a little bit of what he does. What I normally do as a person, I'd read a lot. I mean, I'm an avid reader, and I follow these developments. That's what I've said. I follow politics because politics determine what happens in the country. So I've got an idea, but one thing that I've learned is not to do what someone else has done. I've got to do something different. Success, to a large extent, as far as I'm concerned, is dependent on doing something different. Whereas a lot of people all over the world, why they fail is because they want to do what Herman Mashaba did. Exactly. And that's where you're going to fail, because it is innate in us as human beings. You can't be a Me Too product, you know, in a market where a Me Too product is you want to copy what everybody else does. I think I'm a strong believer in doing things differently, and I must believe in what I'm doing. Like I'm a real typical salesman. I'm a trader. And the only way I can sell a product, I must believe in that product. Because if I'm attached to a product, then I believe in it. It is easy for me to really sell it.
Right. Let's go to the floor. We've got a question in the front here. Please just raise your hand and the Team Biz News will find you. On this side of the hall, you have Francis. Over here, you have Stuart. And Asibes on the right-hand side. Please just raise your hand and whoever's here to answer.
Mr. Mashaba, thank you for your very uplifting speech. I just wanted one question. I mean, we've been talking all today. In order to get the job done and get rid of the ANC, we've got to get the uncommitted ANC abstain.
Question, please, sir. Question.
Okay. What I'm trying to say is, are you certain that your party is going to be effective in doing that? Because I think there's difficulty for the white parties to do that, but I'm sure it'd be much easier for you to pick to uncommitted ANC voters. So is your party taking votes from uncommitted voters? Or I think you get the gist, you can answer the question.
We just do one at a time, yeah, Herman. So you can answer
okay.
that.
Well, we do one at a time.
This is not government. We do one at a time.
Okay. I'm afraid if you're going to ask certain two from Herman Mashaba, you can't get it because I can't guarantee anything. I'll be lying to you. I'll be a politician. I can only tell you what I intend doing. Am I going to achieve it? Chances of achieving it are high. But I might fail. I'm a human being. I'm fallible. So I can't really give you certainty. It's like, honestly, every time people ask me this question, people tell me I must give them assurance, will I still be alive tomorrow? As you can see how healthy I am right now. Will I still be alive tomorrow? I can't guarantee that because this tent might just collapse and I'm the only person unfortunate that I die from it. So I can't really give you the guarantee. But the guarantee I can assure you is that I'm working damn hard, more than hard. I thought when I was running my business in the 80s, doing 10,000 kilometers travel every month, I thought I was a hard-working man until I got into this terrible, brutal job. I'm working damn hard to succeed. There's a guarantee I can tell you. In terms of voters, who am I targeting? I'm targeting the 27.7 million South Africans who are registered to vote.
Thank you for your speech, Herman. It was very encouraging. With regard to the ANC, will they give up power when they're voted out?
You can, Herman, you don't have to write it down. Will the ANC give up power when they voted out?
Why must they worry about the ANC giving up power? It is not their business to whether they like to give up power or not. The 27.7 million people, a big percentage of them being black people, if they do decide to vote ANC out of power, ANC will be out of power whether they like it or not. It's not a question that we must concern ourselves whether ANC will give up power or not. That's what actually they thought when I was the mayor of the city of Johannesburg. They tried every trick in the book to disrupt me. And you know what? First week after being elected, all the cadres in administration were all ANC people, from the city manager, Trevor Fowler, senior ANC person. I took them away after putting together a team in my office. I took all the 130 or so senior members. I spent 4 days with them to go through my plans, our plans, actually, not my plan. And remember, if you remember well, after that, I had a press conference to announce to South Africans what we've agreed on. We called it was a 10-point plan, what we agreed. In that 10-point plan, the first thing that we agreed, and I needed a commitment from all of them to sign on this 10-point plan, was do they accept the outcome of the elections? Are you happy that the elections were free and fair? Do you understand that I run a multi-party government, the seven-way coalition government? So for all of you who are committed to working with us, you're most welcome. Those who are not committed, you want to still serve the ANC, please just leave before I fire you. And the only way I'm going to make sure that you do your job, let's commit to do a skills audit, because I'm aware that some of you are not in these jobs because of what you know. You are in these jobs because of who you know. I said, you cannot expect me. I must run government on behalf of society with the cadres. I must run this government to deliver to South Africans people based on merit. Fortunate enough, some of them ran away before the skills audit started. I remember I became unpopular with the media, telling me that I'm firing people. I mean, every day I was being attacked by the media that I'm getting rid of experienced technocrats. And my defense, and I'm unapologetic about this. I said, you guys are honestly talking nonsense. I'm getting rid of experienced thugs and thieves. I'm not getting rid of experienced people. There's a big difference, because you are used to those people stealing public monies because they were there. You think they're experienced. Yes, they're experienced, but their experience is stealing. They're not experienced in providing services. And I had a bunch. One thing that I discovered in the process, within a month of being in the office, because 2 days after I became the mayor, I wake up in the morning, every paper gets delivered to my house. When I wake up at the door, there's every paper in Afrikaans, Swana, English, New Age of the Guptas delivered to my house. And I said, my goodness, what the hell is going on? So one of the days, I had an opportunity to talk to Trevor Fowler. She said, Trevor, what on earth is happening? Who delivers these papers to my house? They said, no, they deliver. You know how much you are spending on these papers? 18 million rands a year. All the senior people were being delivered to the papers. I said, Trevor, when do these people work if they're going to be sitting reading papers? Do you know that I don't read papers? Even before I went into politics, I don't read papers. If you see Herman Mashaba buying a paper, you must know he's looking for something in there. I don't read newspapers. And then DSTV, I hope if there's anyone from DSTV or La Politica, don't be angry with me. I had to save public monies. All the senior managers, they have full bouquet of DSTV, costing $1 million a month. I said, what nonsense, guys. When are you going to work? You know, in the 2 years as a mayor, it is there, confirmed by the Auditor General in 2019 before I left, because I prepared my exit report, which was signed off by the Auditor General. I managed to save 2 billion rands from this kind of stuff that I'm talking about. It's not a 2 billion rands of additional money that I collected. You know, it was the 2 billion I moved at the time when I took over Johannesburg. Parkstow was spending 51% on infrastructure. 51%. They forgot. I don't know. I always used to tell people, and I'm saying this, I don't know whether ANC, when they took over power in 1994, whether they didn't know that there's what is called maintenance of properties and your infrastructure. I don't know whether they didn't know or they forgot. Honestly, because they were spending 51%. By the time I left in, if you look at my budget, it's there, it's a public document. I was already spending 72% on infrastructure. 2 billion of which wasn't additional money that I was collecting. When I took over the city at the time, our revenue collection was running at 87%. And I said to myself, my goodness, I come from the environment in business. I can tell you if debtors collection is under 98%, I'll kill someone. Here, government is happy to collect this 87, 88% that were doing well. By the time I left, we were collecting 93%.
Can you do that at a national level? Is it possible to replicate that kind of success that you had in the city of Joburg on a national level?
In fact, I think, look, I have no experience. I don't know what the president does, but I think with my little experience of business, with the little experience and the privilege of serving as the mayor, understanding how government works, I think at national level will be much easier, because I'll be able to pass policies that can actually speak to the lived experience of South Africans, not anything else. Unlike when you run a municipality, you're controlled to a large extent by national policies. So at national level, I guess it'll be much easier than running a metro with policies designed by someone else. So at national level, we'll pass policies. The first policy we will pass will ensure that we revise our labor legislation, draconian labor legislation. We do away with the minimum wage, make sure that people can get employment. Factories in Mababelegi, in Mukwasi, those factories, let's give them to the private sector, give them massive tax breaks. SAA Airways, I'll pay someone to take it over, you know. I'll pay someone to take this airline away from my balance sheet. I don't really need that. So in that way, I believe very strongly, I have a sense that it'll be much easier at a national level. I'll make sure that our law enforcement agencies are run by professional people, uncompromised. Our prosecutors are independent of political intervention. And I'll unite South Africans, all South Africans, about being South Africans. I will remove any discriminatory law in our statute book. We'll remove that. The only thing you must ask me if I employ people, don't ask me how many blacks I employ, how many whites I employ. The only thing I'm prepared to ask me how many foreigners I employ. But in terms of South Africans, I don't want anything to do with ticking boxes that I employ so many blacks, so many white, so many Indians, so many colors. I want to know, as government, how many people do you employ? And the more people you employ, we will give you incentives, because then you'll help us reduce the number of people who are dependent on grants.
Herman Mashaba, thank you.